And it was mostly Moses speaking to God's people and preparing them for their journey into the promised land, also recounting for them all of their failures and all that they should have learned from those failures. But tonight's a very interesting passage from Moses to Israel about what God required of them before they went in and after they go in. Just four things, but they're big, as you'll see. So Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So what doth the Lord require? That's our title. Lord, I pray that tonight we would take this on board as what you also require of us as your children. And Lord, that we would take stock of our own hearts, our own walk, and that you would have your way and will in our hearts as we contemplate these great truths, that the Holy Spirit would be in control, that you'd be glorified and guide us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. What doth the Lord require of thee? You're about to go into the promised land. We had to put it off for 40 years because of your disobedience and your murmuring and complaining. But God's going to let them go in now. They're just on this side of Jordan. And he says, what doth the Lord require? By the way, it's the first mention of this word require in the Bible. First mention principle, always important. So what does the Lord require? Just four things. Just four things. And he requires the same things of us, as we'll see when we compare Scripture with Scripture. So let's look at the four things that God required before they went in. This is what God wanted once they went in and started settling the promised land. Number one, fear the Lord. Amen? Fear the Lord. That word fear means reverence, means respect. It also means to revere. It even means to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, if you want to turn there. And we get to the New Testament, as we'll see, and God still wants his children to fear him. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So God says one of the ways to fear him is to hate evil. In Hebrews 12, if you want to turn there, verse 28, we're told that our God gives us amazing grace, hallelujah, to serve him. But what does he want as we serve him? Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So a godly fear means a godly respect, a godly reverence, and even if we're living in disobedience, a literal fear of chastisement. But he says the first thing that God wants of his children is that we fear him, that we reverence him, that we put him first. The Bible says in Psalm 33:8, that all the earth fear the Lord. God is worthy of fear, of reverence, of course, because he is God. He's the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And he warrants our fear. Look at Acts 9:31, and we'll see an example from the disciples. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The Bible says here, they had then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So notice it says of the disciples, in the early church, they were walking in the fear of the Lord. That as they walked forward, they did it with reverence, with awe, with respect, and with hatred for evil, putting God first. And that is the first thing that God said, I require of you, Israel, as you go into the promised land, as I want you to fear me. Which means, of course, no other gods, right? Because there are no other gods. To revere me in your worship and your behavior, to put me first, fear the Lord thy God. And we're told the same in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:17 says, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we're still supposed to fear the Lord. Well, let's go back there. The second thing the Lord required of Israel as they were about to go into the promised land, it says here in Deuteronomy 10:12, to walk in all his ways. To walk in all his ways. So this, of course, is talking about obedience. And we've heard this over and over now, Deuteronomy, that God wants obedience. Amen. In verse 13, he said it again, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. Obedience. He says, I want you to fear me, but I want you to obey me. I want you to walk in my ways, to obey God's commandments. Psalm 119:1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And then if you go to 3 John, verse 3, I think we looked at this at family camp. The Bible says here that we're walk in truth. In other words, as we walk forward, we're to walk in his word, walk in obeying his commandments. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Notice it says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John writing to these Christians says, nothing brings more joy to my heart than to hear that you, my converts, are walking in the truth. And that's what God wants. He wants us to walk in his ways. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And this is the love of God, 1 John 5:3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So you're about to go into the promised land. This is what I want. I want you to fear me, God says, and I want you to obey me. Fear and obey. Just if we could do those two things, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? Let's look at the third one, Deuteronomy 10:12, and to love him. To love him. Now, they were already told this in chapter 6. Let's turn there. Chapter 6, verse 5. This is the first time that God put forth this, the greatest of all commandments, which Jesus then quoted in the New Testament as the greatest of all commandments. Amen. First given here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And sure enough, we get to the New Testament. People ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Every time he answered the same, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Mark 12:30 and others. To love God, it means to love him with all that we are. And that love, of course, we know love is actions, right? So that love is displayed by how we treat God, our behavior, our desire to honor him in all that we do. We're to love God. And love is what we do. But then he finishes that fourth one, Deuteronomy 10:12, serve. So those are the four things. He says, these are the four things that I require of you, Israel, as you're about to go into the promised land. Number one, I want you to fear me. Number two, I want you to walk in my ways or obey me. Number three, I want you to love me with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. And number four, I want you to serve me. To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To serve the Lord. Look at Psalm 100 verse 2. David understood this. When God saves us, hallelujah, he gives us eternal life. He gives us a home in heaven. That's done. We are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he never says, now I want you to sit and take it easy until I come and get you, does he? Never says that. He says, instead, I want you to get up and go to work. Put these gifts to use that I've given you. I've given you life. Now put it to use. Amen. Serve me with what you have, with the time that you have, and so forth. Notice Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We're to serve him. Serve the Lord. And let's look at some New Testament. Romans 12:11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. But this is a Old Testament and New Testament theme that if we're a born-again Christian, we're one of God's children, we're to serve the Lord. So he says to Israel, I want you to fear me. I want you to walk in my ways by obeying me. I want you to love me. want you to serve me. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Just three words, serving the Lord. Amen. Look at Colossians 3:23, if you would. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So notice God says there, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it heartily. Do it as if you're serving God, because you are. Amen. You serve the Lord Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 15:58, everybody pretty much knows this by heart, but let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. Then as much as you know that labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he talks about work and labor there. The work of the Lord. So we're his children now. God wants us to go into the promised land, which is the victorious Christian life. And he says, and when you go in, here's what I want. I want you to fear me. I want you to put me first. I want you to revere me. Lift me up. Worship me as the only true God, because I am. I want you to obey my commandments. That's how I want you to show me that you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want you to serve. I'm even going to give you my Holy Spirit to empower you. I'm even going to give you special gifts from the Holy Spirit that you can put to use for my kingdom. I want you to serve me. So now if we could go back to verse 13 of Deuteronomy 10. God makes this an if-then statement. These are the four things that I require as you go into the promised land. Same things he requires of us as his children. But he says, if you will do these things, look what he says. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Isn't that a good statement? For thy good. What is he teaching there? That if we will do those things, if we will meet these requirements, remember first mention of require in the Bible, it's for our good. In other words, God will bless us. Our Christian life will be good. It's for our good that we do these things, that we fear God, that we obey God, that we put God first in our lives by loving him, and that we serve him. He says, for thy good. And again, this is all through the scriptures, isn't it? If you will obey me, God says, I will bless you. If you will disobey me, then I'm going to have to chastise you. And we'll see it at the end of Deuteronomy as well. But let's look at some scriptures. Proverbs 29:18. Most Christians know the first half, but not the second half of Proverbs 29:18, which says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Most people know that part. But the last part, look what it says. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. God said, for thy good. Amen. He says, if you'll keep the law, you'll be happy. If you'll obey me, you'll be happy. Jesus said it in John 13. Let's turn there, verse 17. He said the same thing as he was talking to the disciples there in the upper room here in John 13, just after he had washed their feet. Look what he said to them in John 13, 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If you do them. It's one thing to hear them. It's another thing to do them. And then John 15, if you would turn there. And verse 14. Very powerful truth here. Ye are my friends if. If what? If you do whatsoever I command you. Obedience. Well, we all want to be friends with Jesus. Amen. He says, if you'll do these things to Israel, it's for thy good. It's for your good. You'll be blessed in the land. And we're going to see it as we get further into Deuteronomy in these final exhortations from Moses. He's going to say, if you'll obey, here's all the blessings I'm going to pour out. if you disobey, here's all the curses I'm going to pour out. It always comes down to keeping the commandments, obeying the Lord. By fearing Him, honoring Him, loving Him, serving Him, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then look at James chapter 1, if you would, and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. And again, it's a theme of Scripture. Obedience brings blessings. James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So God says, you want a blessing? You want me to bless you in your deed? What does he want us to do? Look into the word. Pay attention to what we find there. And do it. Amen. Obey it. A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And again, this is a theme. If you go to the end of Deuteronomy, we're going to get there. But I just want to show you in chapter 28. One of the longest chapters in the Bible is Deuteronomy 28. Notice it has 68 verses. And you want to know what the entire chapter is about? Verse 1, if you will obey my commandments, I'm paraphrasing, these are all the ways that I'm going to bless you in the first 14 verses. But, verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken, in other words, if you disobey me, and the curses get over 50 verses. The blessings get the 14 verses. Quite a difference, huh? And it's all, if then, if you will obey, then this. If you will disobey, then this. And that's very close to the end of the book, by the way. Joshua chapter 1, they go in. So God says, or Moses speaking for God, God is saying through Moses, this is what I require of you, Israel. As you go into the promised land, I want you to fear me. I want you to obey me. I want you to love me. And I want you to serve me. If you'll do those four things, it'll be for your good. Amen. I will bless you. If you choose not to, if you choose to go in and disobey, well, we'll get to it. But let me tell you about the 50 verses of curses if you choose to disobey. So God requires the same of us. For us, it's different, though, isn't it? We've been saved forever. We have eternal life. And through the grace of God, we received the gift of heaven, the gift of God's salvation. And so we don't obey God to get heaven. We already have it. We obey God because we love Him, because we want to please Him. We know we're going to spend forever with Him in heaven. Won't it be better to go there and say, I did my best, Lord, to obey you? Yeah, I made some mistakes, but don't we want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And not, why didn't you live for me? Why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you obey my commandments? That's not what we want at the judgment seat of Christ, is it? We want Him to say, well done. So what does He require? Fear me. I want you to fear me. I want you to walk in my ways by obeying me. I want you to love me, and I want you to serve me. If you'll do that, it's for your good. Still true thousands of years later. Amen. What does the Lord require? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful truth and how beautifully it applies to us even 4,000 years later. Lord, that you have given us everything, and in return, you ask us to give you everything, our hearts, but our service, our obedience, our worship, our honor. I pray, Lord, that that would be our goal, is that we would enter the promised land eagerly, with a desire to walk a life of fearing you, of obeying you, Lord, of loving you and serving you. And we know it'll be for our good. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you.